Blog Talk Radio.
You think they really ready for you? Nah. You think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. You think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Thinking, Chris, shrinking. Nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking. Honorary degrees from Lincoln. I cross borders like those Sheikins and do albums in a weekend. I'm hip-hop speaking, never the weakling. I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all speaking? Them lies and them liars, I still make flyers. I still ride bands and say MC for hire. I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place. Mama never told you to stay out of grown folk face. Then you got them rappers with that cold broke face. They tour around the world, then they going no place. My KRS One moves at his own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop frying.
Do you think
they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Thinking me, I say impeccable. Running circles around these intellectuals. What a spectacle. They get mad when I say I and God are identical. You better get on your knees and praise them. These conspiracy theory rappers, I'll blaze them too. Ooh, deja vu. You seen this all before, me slaying your crew. I'm known by all the kids. I studied Dr. King, man, and all he did. People don't stop calling Chris for gigs. Cause when I'm on the mic, man, I flip they lid. Me getting bullshit. I can't even count all the dough this month I did. From coast to coast, we roasting toast. I'm hot, me and the ice can't get close.
Do
you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Revolutionaries know the game. We take away the pain like Novocaine. Knowledge reigning supreme, you know the name. This the name that don't play all them games. I ain't gonna call no names or take away no fame. But the airwaves is a shame, and the public don't know who to blame. So they blame rappers like we are insane. Like we are to blame for society's pain. Like they don't know for sure what's in our brains. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Same style oppression, socially rearranged. Many of our problems we already overcame, but we stuck in the past, can't see the change. Stuck in the Hyundai, can't see the range. Stuck in the towers, can't see the planes.
Do
you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah.
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see by the dawn? So proudly we hailed at the twilight land gleaming. Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the grand
You're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4. I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to
sing along.
Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring with the harmony of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high. Loud as the Lord see ya.
Underground Radio Show. Jim Lee Underground Radio Network, and we got coffee, tea, and a conversation with the greatest lady in Chi-Town, the queen of Black Chicago, Miss Dorothy Tillman. Let's go, Ebony.
For the time was about to get, had no money for to go down there.
Yeah.
So keep your eyes on the prize.
Keep
that started to fight for our equal rights. Keep your eyes on the prize.
Considered one of the most important pieces of civil rights legislation ever passed. But by 5-4, the U.S. Supreme Court today took the teeth out of a law enacted nearly 50 years ago. NewsHour correspondent Kwame Holman begins our coverage.
President Lyndon Johnson signed the landmark law in 1965, and ever since, the Voting Rights Act has policed voting discrimination. But today's decision effectively puts it on hold. Chief Justice John Roberts, writing for the 5-member majority, said the law originally distinguished between states that had used barriers to minority voting and had low voter turnout and those that had not. But he wrote, "Today the nation is no longer divided along those lines, yet the Voting Rights Act continues to treat it as if it were."
Fresh Outlook, I'm Frank Cipolla. This week, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down a portion of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. The change will allow 9 states, mostly in the South, to change their election laws with approval, or I should say without approval, from the federal government. Is it a change whose time has come, or will it make it even harder for the poor and disadvantaged to exercise their right to vote? Take a look.
When President Lyndon B. Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act into law in 1965, Sections 4 and 5 mandated 9 southern states and local governments in 7 other states to consult the U.S. Justice Department for approval to change any of their voting codes and laws. The Supreme Court, now in 2013, agrees with a suit brought by a town in Alabama that says times have changed and that type of oversight isn't necessary anymore. President Obama calls the High Court's decision a setback. The Vice President had this to say.
Like so many across the country, I'm disappointed in the Supreme Court's decision today. You may or may not have heard of it. Shelby County versus Holder, the Voting Rights Act. The Voting Rights Act, the cornerstone of the American Civil Rights Movement.
While Chief Justice John Roberts said in his majority opinion that the court's decision in no way affects the permanent nationwide ban on racial discrimination in voting, civil rights groups and the U.S. Attorney General disagree.
Like many others across the country, I am deeply disappointed with the court's decision in this matter. This decision represents a serious setback for voting rights and has the potential to negatively affect millions of Americans across the country.
Now, to discuss this important ruling, we welcome back Republican strategist Dee Dee Benke and Professor Yoruhu, I said your name right 4 times during the commercial break, Yoruhu Williams.
Yes.
He is a professor of African studies at Fairfield University and media expert and also professor Jackie Gusta. Welcome. Yes. All right, so this was a fairly momentous ruling. It took out a part that many people say was probably the most important part of it, which required some of these southern states to get federal approval before they changed the Voting Rights Act, as they set up their voting rights.
Let me speak as somebody who hasn't really been following this, and I have, but let me speak as the viewer. What does this all mean? What does it mean? What happened? We'll start with you, Professor.
Very momentous legislation, the Civil Rights Act of 1965 was, because it addressed the historic injustices that were done to voters in the South, particularly African Americans, where what you had were changes in election law, sometimes on election day, that prohibited black voters from being able to go to the poll and exercise the right to vote. What the Civil Rights Act of 1965 intended to do was to create rules whereby the states couldn't create these fly-by-night changes that would prohibit blacks from voting. What the court has done is essentially strip those protections, and so now the states are free to set the parameters of voting in those districts that have been problematic in the past. And the fear is, and Congressman John Lewis articulated this very well, what will happen, will there be any oversight now over those districts that historically have proven to be suspect when it comes to enforcing black voting?
All right, let me play devil's advocate. It's 50 years later, and I might even agree with Dee Dee on this one. It's 50 years later. We have the internet. We have media coverage. We have nonstop television news. Is a more intelligent, informed electorate. It's not the 1960s. It's 2013. It's a whole different world, and maybe we don't need this. Jackie.
Frank, we have Paula Deen. If that doesn't remind you, that there is racial prejudice in the United States in the 200,000s, then nothing will. Look, when you take it back, yes, there was gerrymandering. I think that might go on now that they stripped away Section 4 and 5. There was a poll tax. I don't know if that will come back. It might. Early morning voting, which was traditionally the black hours to come out and mm-hmm. vote. All of that now is not under any oversight.
All right, Dee Dee, Mickey, you chime in here. We know you want to.
Yeah, I mean, this is so outdated, and the Supreme Court is exactly right. You know, and I think, you know, to have Big Brother and have the federal government come in and oversee is just wrong at this point, because it is a different world now. You know, have the voting, and you have your clerk, and you have your judge, and you have a lot of, you have a different system where these things...
go to jail, keep going back and going to jail. You'll get some attention. And I'm telling them to go to jail if necessary. If you won't go to jail and fight and die for your children, there's nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing. It is about the young people. Rahm Emanuel right here playing all these games. You know, I was reading in the paper yesterday where the other day he said he took, he got somebody from Whole Foods to give to this garden, I think $100,000 or something. And he went to the lady and he gave it. He said, here's your effing $100,000. I said, what? And they slapped hands. That's nothing to play with. I told y'all that Rahm Emanuel was in trouble. Nobody didn't want to believe me. And don't worry. He won't be there next time. I know y'all don't believe that neither. Because the community is upset. And what they're doing to Gresham makes no sense. And as we celebrate the anniversary of Brown versus the Board of Education, when we were fighting for equality. So we keep missing that. Black children still don't have equality. There's a difference, and you need to be angry when you can read that the Board of Education and the City of Chicago have said that they are going to have two different standards, one for the white students and the other one for the black that they're going to judge them by. We don't need them dropping those standards for us. Because we're pretty deep and pretty heavy. We've invented and they have stolen. What we need to do is give us access to the resources. You know, give it to me and I'll get it myself. That's what James Brown said. So you need to be angry. And teachers, you need to stop being cowards. That's why I'm going to have that principal on my show. I'm so proud of him. He stood tall. He's a man. He's not scared of Rahm. He said, go jump. I saw him on TTW the other night. Very, very good. Very, very good. He on TTW, he was trying, my phone is ringing, y'all. I don't know whoever was calling me. Stop calling me. I'm on the air. My phone just keep ringing. I got to find it. Somebody come in, one of y'all, everybody come get my phone. So he was on the find my phone. Somebody called.
Thank you for calling WVON.
But anyway.
Thank you for calling WVON.
It's Jimbo.
Yeah. What's up?
Turn me on.
You're not on?
No, I'm not.
Okay. I called the number. Hold on. All right.
I know sound coming through.
All right. All right. I don't know why I can't.
You will take some calls from you before she get here. But hats off to parents listening. They can also call in, and we'll make sure they get a chance to talk. Models and parents went to jail. We changed the curriculum. We fought very hard. And there's an all-out intellectual educational war being held on our children. There's an economic war being put on us. And we're different from most people. We're different. It's different because these folks are trying to keep us down. And not only trying to keep us down in terms of the education, if our children are not educated and they're frustrated, they're going to hurt each other. And then we have people who have made it who are doing indentured servitude. It's some deep stuff going on, y'all. So what I want you to do, get your coffee, get your tea, and wake up everybody and tell them, we talking. Come on and talk to me. And you're going to get a chance to really talk to little Joan Harvey. You're going to love her. Great black woman, great black woman. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live on www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on Blog Talk. We're on www.wvon.com. We're on Facebook and Group Facebook. So get your coffee, get your tea. Y'all see I'm trying to get it together right here. I'm going to give you some coffee, and y'all come on back and talk to me. I'll be right back.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-642-8896. 1-800-642-8896. That's 1-800-642-8896. 1-800-642-8896.
An educator's job doesn't stop when the school bell rings. Whether it's in the classroom
or in the community, we're hard at work.
We always want to do more. And with the help of IEA,
we can.
IEA, the Illinois Education Association, is the largest union of education professionals in the state. Each year, IEA awards grants to fund service projects throughout Illinois. We're mentoring students in Flossmoor and creating an after-school science program in Salem.
100 stories.
100 grants.
100 communities helped. All made possible by IEA.
IEA understands that high-quality teachers are the key to high-performing schools.
And we all benefit
when our schools are strong.
That's why we're also fighting for stronger school funding, smaller class sizes, and to make sure politicians are held accountable for the decisions they make.
Thanks to IEA.
Thanks to IEA.
Thanks to IEA, I can make a bigger difference.
Bigger difference in my community.
This message is proudly brought to you by the 130,000 educators who are members of IEA.
Join the Harold Washington Cultural Center as we present our fundraising gala, Thank You Chicago, for 10 years committed to children, community, and culture. One night only, Monday, May 19th, showtime at 7 p.m. We will be honoring Tony Award-winning producer Aaliyah Jones Harvey. Congressman Danny Davis will receive the State Rep Lou Jones Legacy Achievement Award. Tickets are available on TicketWeb.com or by calling 773-373-1900. Thank you, Chicago, for supporting 10 years committed to children, community, and culture. Harold Washington Cultural Center. See you at the theater.
You got something on your mind? Speak out. You got something on your heart? Speak loud. You have something you want to say, Chicago? Speak up. This is Che Ryan Fest Smith. And remember, I am not a victim, and neither are you.
Speak up with Che Ryan Fest Smith. Monday evening at 6 p.m. on The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Speak up.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-642-8896. 1-800-642-8896. That's 1-800-642-8896. 1-800-642-8896.
Chicago has been hit with some tough weather this past winter. Your friends at Pyramid General Construction Company are here to help. Are you looking for a good professional roofing team? Then call Pyramid at 773-804-9999. They specialize in replacing shingles, flat rubber roofing, soffit fascia, gutters, and much more. Pyramid has been serving our community for over 15 years, and they hold an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Call Pyramid now at 773-804-9999 and let their experts come to inspect your home. Do you need work inside your home, from finishing basements to adding dormers, kitchens, and bathrooms? They do it all. Just call them at 773-804-9999. Senior citizens, you get discounts. There are also payment plans and all major credit cards accepted. Don't put it off for another day. Pick up the phone now. Dial 773-804-9999 for Pyramid General Construction.
Ladies, it's time for WVON's annual Speak Sister Speak Women's Business Forum on Thursday, June 5th. We'll be at the DuSable Museum of African American History, 740 East 56th Place, as we explore one of the most pressing issues facing career women today. Our theme, Operation Plan B, What's Your Next Power Move? From the glass ceiling to a leaner and meaner corporate America to becoming your own boss, women are exploring other options on their road to financial security. Be there when we present an inspiring panel of women business leaders. All the way from Dallas, Texas, see the dynamic Dr. Venus Opal Reese. Meet 21-year-old entrepreneur Jordan Gaines, who is building an empire one delicious cake layer at a time. See Fashion Fair's new president, Amy Hilliard, and powerhouse author Kimberla Lawson Roby. Speak Sister Speak is the ultimate girls' night out with a purpose. This exclusive event is open to only 100 WVON listeners. Ladies, log on to WVON.com and click the Speak Sister Speak banner to register. It all happens Thursday, June 5th at the DuSable Museum, beginning with a networking reception at 5:30 p.m., followed by the panel discussion. It's moderated by WVON's own Perry Small. Speak Sister Speak is presented by PNC Bank.
On the next Tavis Smiley Show from PRI, we'll bring you conversations with today's top newsmakers discussing everything from politics to pop culture, and we'll look for answers to some of the major social issues confronting America today. So join us weekly for solutions-oriented radio on the Tavis Smiley Show from PRI, Sunday night from 7 to 9 on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Price check on aisle... ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I haven't looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this. So why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
I want to help more kids graduate from high school.
Help more families learn how to budget and save.
I want my neighbors to have access to health care.
Help create opportunities for everyone in your community. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Join the Harold Washington Cultural Center as we present our fundraising gala. Thank you, Chicago, for 10 years committed to children, community, and culture. One night only, Monday, May 19th, showtime at 7 p.m. We will be honoring Tony Award-winning producer Aaliyah Jones Harvey. Congressman Danny Davis will receive the State Rep Lou Jones Legacy Achievement Award. Tickets are available on Ticketweb.com or by calling 773-373-1900. Thank you, Chicago, for supporting 10 years committed to children, community, and culture. Harold Washington Cultural Center. See you at the theater.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Say it loud. Can't quit till we get our share. What is your share? Can't quit, y'all. Can't quit. What is our share? Education. Very key. You know, used to be very important that we stress education. And then something happened where there was a psychological thing that was made to make our people not understand how important education was. Education, we always thought, was one of the keys that brought us out. And then this whole new thing came. I know in Chicago it was continuous progress, mastery learning where they did, and to kind of move folks away and not understanding the importance, all those things that brought us over. And so we sit by and we allow folks to miseducate our children. You must always stand up for the future. Hats off to Gresham School. Should join their protest. I intend to join it. It's still at I'm a guy, I got to get over there today. But we should join the protest. Thank you, Jonathan Jackson. You should go down to the board. You know, friends, all of us, we went down and we took over the Board of Education. You got to be willing to just go to jail. We went to jail every day. They was putting us in jail. And it shouldn't just be the Gresham parent. All of those schools that they're messing with, y'all should start taking over your schools. If you don't fight for your children, what am I living for if not for you? It's our children. Hats off to the Gresham parents. A lot of things are going on right now in Chicago as it relates to the black community. A lot of things are going on across this country as it relates to us. We're feeling pain, and we don't know how to describe our pain, so we don't know what to do. When one or two stand up, you have to stand up too. This principal from Banks School, the principal that stood up and talked about what was going on, he's the Rosa Parks of the principals in education. It takes one to stand up, and he's not backing down. Barbara Bird Bennett come jumping in the middle of it. He told her to go somewhere and sit down, in essence. He said, I'm not talking about you. You didn't create this climate. Somebody else is creating the climate. But she's carrying out what he wants, really. You know, don't forget the nurses and Tuskegee that gave the black men the sugar pills during the experiment with Tuskegee. They took the pill because the black nurse gave it to them. And you see what happened. My hat's off to the principal. Economics, jobs, a right to the resources, a right to your taxes. You said we got to put all our money together. I agree with you, but you also have a right to your tax dollars that everybody else come here and they're building. When they build those new schools, they're using your tax dollars. There's a school over there on the northwest side that they have built a whole block for British children, a whole block. And everybody's building and maintaining education and understanding the key and teaching their children to get ready for the future. And we're standing right here arguing over peanuts and crumbs and stuff. Makes no sense to me. We got to fight back. We got to spark that. Dr. King gave his life so that we might live. What greater man is that? That would lay his life down for another man. Then we should be willing to stand up and fight. 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.von.com. We own Facebook, iHeartRadio. We're also on group Facebook, and we're on Blog Talk. And we want to welcome the people from around the world and around the country and around the city that's listening to WVON. Our 10th year anniversary is Monday. The Harold Washington Cultural Center is Monday. And we will be celebrating. We have a VON code, ticketweb.com, or come by the theater after 12 and get the VON code in to come and support 10 years of the Harold Washington Cultural Center as we celebrate our 10 years. Let me go to the phone. The phone is lit up, and I know I've been talking, but let me go. Let me get Maurice on out the way. How you doing, Maurice?
Yeah, you might as well, Dorothy.
You got in first this morning, didn't you?
And the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. Look,
okay.
Let me tell you what I did this week to assure that we have a one-turn round as we had a one-turn burn.
Yeah.
But first, let me ask you, have you ever heard Maurice Nichols say that we don't have a right to our tax dollars as we pool our dollars, our personal
But we do
dollars?
Have a right to our tax dollars. I pay a lot of taxes.
I ask you, did you ever hear me say we don't
have I'm not here to right, debate that. But you know, I never heard you say that. But keep on talking, because I ain't got much time now, because I got a guest coming on. No, I never heard you say that.
All right. Here's what Maurice Nichols did, and it's a shame. If there were 11 more like me, sister, we would have Obama High School on the west side and the library, presidential library. Well, look, I went by Alderman Chandler's office earlier this week, and I requested a stack of voter registration forms, right?
Mm-hmm.
I keep these forms with me at all times.
Are you a deputy register?
No law that says I have to be. Is there
well, I'm not debating that day. We're not talking about deputy register today.
No
go
debate.
On.
There
okay.
No
okay, hurry up, Maurice. I get. Come
I got
on.
I the forms, and I registered 5 people to vote this week.
I think that's wonderful. And I think we're going to have to, and we're going to discuss that, how we're going to lunch.
And the money in the family. Love you, sister.
Maurice, we're going to have to do this deputy registration. We're going to get all these young brothers and sisters and everybody, and we got to hit it. We're going to hit it. We got a plan.
Don't overcomplicate the situation. Forget their way.
Okay.
Just go get the forms and have the people fill them out.
Good idea.
Keep it simple, sister. Love you.
Love you, too. We got to put the plan together. It's going to work. I tell you, it's really going to work. It's going to work. Hi, Cam. How you doing? Hello?
Yes.
Yes, Cam.
This is Cam?
Yes. Hurry up.
Hi. How are you, Alderman? I know I had you. I apologize.
Yeah, I'm going to cut you off in a minute. You hurry up. I got dead time here.
No, I was just calling to give a report on the reparation teaching and strategy session we had. Yesterday, it was a very great Thursday. It was a very great program.
That's good, Cam. I want to get an in-depth. I want to get an in-depth part of it next week. But give me a brief snapshot because I'm getting ready for our 10th anniversary. I got Aaliyah coming in the studio in a minute. So give us a snapshot, and we can really talk about it next week more. I'll give you more time next week to talk about it. But go on.
Thank you, Alderman. Well, basically, it was a teach-in, and the second part was a strategy session. And the strategy session was to build on what Dr. Beckel stated at the conference, is that in all of his research, no weak, disorganized, or undisciplined people have ever gotten reparations in all of his research. And so the focus was, how do we build a power base in the city for us to begin to exercise our struggle on getting reparations? And so there was various strategies that were
Well, do me a favor, Cam. Next week, when we're not deal, because I got to bring Aaliyah
sure.
on soon, and
definitely,
I was just trying to clear the board before she came. Let's talk in depth about it a little bit more, just a little bit more. I'll give you a little bit more time next week.
All right. Thank you, Alderman. Let me say I had a great time last night at the Casey and JoJo concert last night at the center. I had a great time.
Good. Are you coming out Monday to support our fundraiser gala for the Harold Washington Cultural Center 10 years?
I will, definitely.
Okay. Thank you so much. And we're going to talk more. Call me next week, and we're going to talk more about that because it's very important to discuss repairing the damage.
That's right.
Thank you, Cam.
Yeah.
I tell you. Maria, how you doing?
Hey, Dorothy. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Yeah, me too. I just want to let you know that I'm making progress on Eric's book, and I need your support so that I can keep supporting and putting some money into the Harold Washington
Center. I don't know what you mean you need. Come on.
I'll talk to you later off the air about it. You can have Ebony call me. But, you know, one of the things I want to say is that we need to put them in jail. I went to jail, okay? I was an Oregon Union organizer.
Oh, you mean for the protest?
Yeah, I'm talking about these people. people doing all this stuff to our school. We need to get down.
Well, I think we need to support those protesters over there at Gresham. And I think that you got to be prepared if necessary to go. Marion Stampson, I did it.
Right,
and the Mollison Parents did it
too. As a union organizer, I was with Charlie Hayes, you know, and all of those people. And from a non-political point, because I come from a political family, but when I became neutral, and I am neutral, okay, but the thing is, for rights, I'm a humanitarian, and I fight for human rights, okay, and I was a labor organizer, so I know the struggle, and so I really respect you. Matter of fact, I used to wear my hats into this circuit court. They would call me Dorothy.
Well, you know, Maria, Dr. King said a man can't ride your back if it's not bent. So straighten your back up and they'll fall off.
We need to find ways to put them in jail.
Yeah, okay? But in the meantime, the parents are over there struggling and we need to support them.
Yes, I do support them.
Go over there and support them. They should not be by themselves. Thank you so much. I mean, we need to go over there and support those parents who are standing up to educate their children. Zakiya, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, Alderman. According to the 6 o'clock newsman, the police went in there last night over the Gresham School around 12 midnight and escorted all of those parents out of the school.
Are
now,
you
they
serious?
Didn't give any details of whether they went to jail or what else is going to be happening, but I don't think they're going to sit down and take this because I was at the school board meeting when they all went down there with Jonathan and they refused to let him speak. That principal and those parents, let me tell you, they are tough. I don't think they're going
to
take
I think they're setting the precedent, Zakiya, and I think they need to stand up, and we need to support them, and they're standing up.
That's what I plan to do, but I don't have any details other than they were escorted out of the school, and the new name of the school now will be Urban something-other. I didn't get all of it.
Well, I think that if
to change the name of the school
that's
now.
That's deep. Well, you know, if the parent is listening, please give me a call. The other thing is, what do you think about the chairman of the Urban League, for Chicago Urban League, being on the Board of Education?
I never thought nothing.
That's a conflict. That's a real conflict. Don't you think that's a conflict?
Well, no, I never thought anything of her anyway, period. Some
but I'm not talking about, do you think that's a conflict?
Yes, it's a conflict of interest, but the people let her get away with it. So, you know, people don't stand up and say...
We the people, Zakiya. We got to do something about that. We got to send letters and do something.
Only a few people just standing up, speaking out, they call you radicals. You understand what I'm saying?
But it's all right to be a radical. Look, you can't get the dirt out of a washing machine. Have to have an agitator. If there's no agitator, the dirt won't get out. You got to get the dirt out. Thanks, Zakiya. Thanks.
You have to do it. I'm telling more people would join the radicals and we could make some changes.
Well, deal with truth. Thank you so much. You know, and also, our children and Aaliyah is going to be at PUSH this morning. So you all, if you get a chance to meet our children, they're going to do snippets from the from things that we're going to do on Monday. You know, I have to also say, as we're celebrating 10 years, I want to salute my daughter, Jimelita Tillman, who have worked so hard over there holding that center together in spite of all odds and pulling it together. And Broadway and Bronzeville, she said, we're going to do this. And she worked hard with those children, giving them a safe haven, a safe place to be. And we're just very proud of her. And I want to thank PUSH for bringing her over there this morning to at least y'all get a chance to see her. And Jimelita, my hat's off to you for what you've done and how you're moving. Mansung, how you doing this morning?
Hey, Hotep, sister, how you doing?
To you too, my brother. I'm going to talk in detail next week about the whole repairing the damage piece because I want to know what happened at the conference.
Yeah. I had Cam call, you know, so he stands ready to deal with that. That's a brilliant brother.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah. Cam, he'll tell you why I first met him. And he'll tell you that I gave him all the strength and energy in the world. He said when he heard me speak, he said he knew. So he'll tell you why I first met him at. I came to speak to them in a group.
Yeah, he told me where you first met him.
Oh, okay.
You know. Hey, well, listen, it's a few quick things, but I want folks to understand that the sister over there at Gresham, I know her personally. That's Dr. Dietrich, but I forgot her last name, you know. But she's a feisty sister and an excellent principal. She had me over there a few years ago to do a Black History Month thing for the elementary school students. So we definitely need to support them.
Yes.
Also, I encourage your listeners, Sister Dorothy, to remember El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz.
His birthday is Monday.
Right.
He just so happened our anniversary is falling on his birthday.
Right.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Today, people, we're celebrating Malcolm X commemoration and African Liberation Day at the Don F. Bailey Legacy Hall of the Carruthers Center for Inner City Studies, right there at 700 East Oakwood Boulevard.
What time?
10 o'clock this morning to 4 p.m. 2 o'clock, Dr. Marimba Ani is the featured special guest lecturer.
Okay.
She's an anthropologist, scholar, and so forth, and deals with these white folks. She wrote the book Yorugu, you know, African-centered critique of European cultural thought and behavior, and it's free. We have special messages of solidarity from the UNIA, Kemetic Institute, Communiversity, AAPRP, and COBRA, United African Organization, Black
So that's
United
at 10 o'clock. That's at
yeah.
10 this morning. Starts.
And performances by Timeless Gifts. This is Joan Colosso's youth program for the performing arts.
Mm-hmm.
So come on out. You know, we got to keep Malcolm's
Oh, yeah. You know, let me ask you, so it's 10 o'clock today.
Yes, ma'am.
And it's from 10 to what, Manzung?
10 to 4. It's free. It's going to be in the auditorium. And
mm-hmm.
come on out. It's going
to
be
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Go out and support, brother. Support the effort to keep Brother Malcolm alive and what he stood for. I know you're coming out on Monday because you've already gotten your tickets
oh, yeah,
and gave us our support.
That. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah.
Will
you also remind those brothers and sisters over there they can get the code and come out, all those black brothers and sisters who are black conscious, to make
right.
sure that they come over on Monday to support the Harold Washington Culture Center.
Yeah,
I know Conrad is coming and you're coming and Maceo and some other folks.
Right.
But, you know, put the word out with them.
Now, the other quick thing is Angela Davis is in town today for this National Forum on Police Crimes. They are over at the University of Chicago at that International House on 59th.
Mm-hmm.
They were there yesterday with, you know, panels and different things. And she's going to be at Trinity United Church of Christ tonight for a rally at 7 o'clock p.m.
So Angela Davis tonight at 7 and,
yeah.
and over at Carruthers at 10. Thank you, Manzung. I got to go.
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate
see you. And I'll see you Monday.
Right on.
Okay. Bye-bye. I mean, I was, Miss Audra, how you doing?
Good morning.
Hang on to the world, Corey, then we'll do that next. Uh-huh.
Good morning, Alderman.
Good morning.
I'd like to preface my statement first by giving a great loud applause to Miss Jemelina Tillman.
Thank
and
you.
And to you. For the Harold Washington Culture Center. But I'd like to say kudos to those parents at Mollison. I did see them on the...
At Gresham, yes. But Mollison parents did fight, though.
I do appreciate their fight. I'd also like to say that I appreciate the principal
oh, yeah.
who came out, and I saw him on WTTW. I'd like to say that Under Dr. Ruth Love, back years ago, the DSEG committee under Miss Mary
Brumfield.
Mary Brumfield.
See, I've been in that struggle a long time.
The DSEG committee did a tribute to Brown versus Board of Education 25 years ago, and we did start with a school forum when we had it at Juarez High School, where principals had started a new approach to learning for the, had we continued on that same approach, our children would have the resources and all the...
Well, we got to fight for the... our children are not dumb.
We need our resources. I'd like to ask you one question.
Mm-hmm.
I asked Mr. Cliff Kelly on Thursday, was what happened to the $400 million that were being given out by the Black Caucus that had to be spent by May 31st that they had been sitting on all year? I wanted to know what happened to those dollars. I do know that they were part of giving UNO money to build schools and build neighborhoods. What happened to our money, $400 million, that was designated for building the black community?
Okay, I'll try to
Thank
answer.
You.
Talk to your state rep and your state senators and see what happened with the money, but I'll try to answer some of it. But I think we should talk about it. I knew somebody else called and said they had $400 million to spend by the 31st. We need to know, but I think that our communities are in great need, the north side, west side, and the south side. And I think that's a vital question to be asked. certainly, I need to get into that another week because it's going to take a little time for me to talk about that. I think that we, Harold Washington Culbertson, is not getting no community development. I don't know what happened with that. I have to find out, but I think you got to talk to your state rep. You know, black folks got to be willing to do and to build for education and to build institutions and to do things and to build like everybody else. When you send a representative, when you send someone down to represent you, they're supposed to represent the interests of that community. But because of post-traumatic slavery syndrome and some things are going, the only time that our people can feel powerful, not all, because I don't want to paint a big broad brush, is when they're really stepping on black folks. They say, let me get a mask, I can do this, I can do that. And when they do that, I can do this mask, and they say, look what I did. And they usually try to step on the stronger one, the one that's real strong, the one that's standing up for the community. Let me get them so I can show you how bad I am. And that's kind of an illness. And sometimes, I don't know, because of lack of planning, because we, our community, a lack of looking at it from a holistic point of view, Uno and all those other folks have culture and they have currency and they have community and they're building. These are not just Uno, but all these different groups and all these different communities have currency and they have country and they're building. And they said if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. And sometimes our people are scattered. And I don't want to paint a broad brush, but pretty deep. Maceo, how you doing?
Hang good on morning,
to the world. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to say to remind your listeners also that Monday is the great Lorraine Vivian Hansberry's birthday, and she was somebody special too, in that you know, her parents Carl Hansberry and her mother Nanny Hansberry instilled in their children racial pride and social responsibility. And when she went to Bessie Ross School, when she went to Englewood High School, she did not look down on, you know, the children that were from the social class. Matter of fact, she was inspired by them. And
they said never look down on a man unless you reach to pick him up. Because when you look down on somebody, you got to look down. That means you're not looking. You only look down on a person when you're reaching to pull them up. And our people somehow like to look down on. You can't do that. My mother told me, when you're looking down on a person, you're only looking down to lift them up so they can stand next to you.
And that's exactly what she did. And with all of her works, with all of her writings, of course, Raisin in the Sun, the youngest playwright ever, 28 years old, to win the New York Drama Critics Award, the first black playwright to win that. But anyway, beyond that, she was an activist, too. She wrote for, she was the editor for Paul Robeson's Freedom newspaper in New York, and then also she wrote the text for the SNCC's movement documentary, and she was involved in SNCC. But she's a very
you're gonna enjoy Aaliyah. We're gonna have Aaliyah Harvey Jones on with us, the only black producer on Broadway. We're gonna have her on. We're so happy. We're honoring her at the Harold Washington Culture Center on Monday. Monday. You're coming, right?
I have my ticket.
Okay,
my contribution.
And thank you.
I'd just like to salute you and Jim Alita, and to say if you guys could pay tribute to the great Lorraine Vivian.
Hang on to the world as we pass. Hang on, y'all.
Okay,
thank you so much. This is to the Gresham children, because they had those children out there marching, and it reminded me when I was a little girl doing the Montgomery bus boycott walking with my grandmother. We can't let those babies march by themselves. We salute you, Gresham. We salute the principal who stood up. We salute our community. Education is the key. Education, music is the spice of life, and education is the key. Hang on, y'all. Hang on, y'all. We're going to be all right. I'll be right back, y'all. Let's talk to Chicago 69 WVON 773-591-1690. We're streaming live on www.wvon.com, iHeartRadio, Blog Talk, and Facebook. Get your coffee, get your tea, wake everybody up. Come on back and talk to me. I'll be right back. Brighter days will soon be here. Brighter days will soon be here. Ethiopia for the children, for the babies. Someday we all gonna be free, y'all. Don't worry about it. Stand up with these babies. Stand up with these babies at breakfast. Love you. Come on, y'all. Keep on marching. Keep on marching.
Talk of Chicago and the voice of the nation. 1690 WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.
NBC News Radio, I'm Kristen Welker at the White House. General Motors, having been fined $35 million, still faces a long road over its problems with a faulty ignition switch. Here's NBC's Tom Costello.
It's the safety culture at GM that federal regulators say has been broken for years for faulty ignition switches and airbags that failed to deploy.
What we will never accept is a person or a company that knows danger exists and says nothing.
Government investigators say in 2009, GM was told by a supplier the defects were related. The ignition switch defect could prevent the airbags from deploying.
At least 13 people were killed in cars with this defect. A big election for Georgia Tuesday. Three Democrats and seven Republicans are running for the state's open Senate seat to replace retiring GOP Senator Saxby Chambliss. This is NBC News Radio. Wildfires in California still burning this morning. The latest now from NBC's Joe Fryer in San Marcos.
Weather conditions are expected to improve, especially just to the north of here. The Camp Pendleton fire is still raging. More than 20,000 acres burned. Meanwhile, here in San Marcos, the Cocos fire remains a top priority. The good news, it's now 50% contained. Eight homes destroyed in this fire, but that number should grow. NBC News crews have spotted a couple dozen burned structures in this area.
In Utah, where there may have been several botched lethal injections to carry out the death penalty, one lawmaker has a solution. He wants to bring back firing squads. And the documentary on Michael Sam is being put on hold so the football player can focus on making the St. Louis Rams. The Oprah Winfrey Network has released a statement saying the documentary series featuring the recent draft pick has been postponed so that Sam can focus on his dream. OWN acquired the rights to Sam's story on Wednesday. I'm Kristen Welker, NBC News Radio.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-319-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-319-MYTV.
At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-319-MYTV. That's 877-319-MYTV.
You bought state-of-the-art equipment for your little leaguer, and you're wearing your indoor eyeglasses in the glare of the sun to watch him play?
Was that Ben?
Next time, experience Xperio UV, superior polarized sunglasses, and experience the difference.
Attaboy, Ben!
They eliminate 100% of blinding reflective glare and offer ESPF 50+, the maximum UV protection available. Ask your eye care professional about Xperio UV, superior polarized sunglasses, in your prescription.
How'd I do, Dad?
For the best vision under the sun.
This is Cliff Kelly. Now's the time to buy at Kingdom Chevy. Take advantage of the $2,000 rebate on all full-size Impalas. That means you can get a new Impala with increased cabin space for less than the MSRP. Buy a new sporty Malibu at Kingdom Chevy and take advantage of up to $2,500 incentives. Both the new Impalas and Malibus have a brand new body style. The newly renovated Kingdom Chevy dealership at 66 and Western is putting dreams in driveways. Check out the huge inventory of new and certified used Chevys online at KingdomChevy.com or call 773-432-3000. That's 773-432-3000. KingdomChevy.com or visit the showroom at 66 and Western. Tell them Cliff Kelly sent you.
An educator's job doesn't stop when the school bell rings. Whether it's in the classroom
or in the community, we're hard at work.
We always want to do more. And with the help of IEA,
we can.
IEA, the Illinois Education Association, is the largest union of education professionals in the state. Each year, IEA awards grants to fund service projects throughout Illinois. We're mentoring students in Flossmoor and creating an after-school science program in Salem.
100 stories.
100 grants.
100 communities helped. All made possible by IEA.
IEA understands that high-quality teachers are the key to high-performing schools.
And we all benefit
when our schools are strong.
That's why we're also fighting for stronger school funding, smaller class sizes, and to make sure politicians are held accountable for the decisions they make.
Thanks to IEA.
Thanks to IEA.
Thanks to IEA, I can make a bigger difference.
Bigger difference in my community.
This message is proudly brought to you by the 130,000 educators who are members of IEA.
Join the Harold Washington Cultural Center as we present our fundraising gala. Thank you, Chicago, for 10 years committed to children, community, and culture. One night only, Monday, May 19th, showtime at 7 p.m. We will be honoring Tony Award-winning producer Aaliyah Jones Harvey. Congressman Danny Davis will receive the State Rep Lou Jones Legacy Achievement Award. Tickets are available on TicketWeb.com or by calling 773-373-1900. Thank you, Chicago, for supporting 10 years committed to children, community, and culture. Harold Washington Cultural Center. See you at the theater.
Health Awareness Month 2014 is all about helping our listeners live better lives. That's why we're pulling out all the stops to bring you great topics and knowledgeable experts all month long. Every day will be another day to empower yourself with information to help you live your best life. Health Awareness Month is all about your health because in May, it's what we do. Brought to you by the Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
Who's got the hottest talk show in Chicago? We do. Perry Small.
I believe in snitching. I snitched all through grammar school. I was the biggest snitch you ever seen in your life. Perry, watch the class. I'd put everybody's name on the board. Sometimes I'd have a whole class with detention. I don't care. You're disrupting my space.
Perry Small, weekdays at 9 a.m. on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Hey, it's Matty Maticus, and I want you to know that Toyota on Western is your new and used car superstore. I've driven a Toyota for over 7 years, and it's the most reliable car I've ever had. Toyota has a long and solid reputation. Add to that the amazing customer service at Toyota on Western, and you'd be crazy to go anywhere else. Toyota on Western has new and used quality cars you can rely on. Of course, you can't go wrong with a new Toyota, and every used car at Toyota on Western comes with a certified inspection, so you know you're buying quality. Listen to my show every day at 8:29 a.m. for the Toyota on Western Car of the Week. Toyota on Western at 69th and Western. Give them a call today at 773-884-7200. That's 773-884-7200 or online at toyotaonwestern.com.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-642-8896. 1-800-642-8896.
That's 1-800-642-8896. 1-800-642-8896.
500,000 jobs are coming to Chicago in the fastest growing industry. Be ready. The City Colleges of Chicago College to Careers Network, made up of more than 200 leading employers and four-year universities, ensures that you get the skills that are in demand. GED certificate and associate degree programs are available for summer and fall. City Colleges of Chicago, education that works without all of the debt. Call 773-COLLEGE or visit ccc.edu to register.
Hi, I'm Layla Ali. I might be undefeated in professional boxing, but there's one problem I can't fight alone. Childhood hunger. 17 million kids in America struggle with it. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to hungry kids. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
To help solve hunger in your community and to find your local food bank, visit feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
What are you doing?
Filling out a loan application.
I can help you get approved, you know.
Really? How?
With this.
A bag of sand?
It's not a bag. It's a pouch. And it's not sand. It's credit fairy dust.
Credit fairy dust?
Yes. I sprinkle some fairy dust on the application, and your credit rating magically improves.
There's no such thing as the credit fairy.
An unbeliever now. But what will you think when your loan is approved?
I'll think my credit score improved because I paid my bills on time, kept my credit card balances low, and only opened a new card if I really needed it.
It's the dust.
It's sand.
Don't deny the credit fairy.
There's no magic to improving your credit, but there is help, and it's free. Go to creditfairy.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the Consumer Bankers Foundation, the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights Education Fund, and the Ad Council.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
Hashtag Dorothy Tillman on 1690, the talk of Chicago.
The present has brought us facing the rising sun of new safety eager. Let us march on till victory is won. Don't need the road.
Difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop.
Oh, man, I don't mind. I don't mind. I don't mind. I've been to the mountaintop. It really doesn't matter with me now because I've looked over and he have allowed me. Dr. King said that God allowed him to go to the mountain. He didn't say that he just went. He said he allowed me, and I looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I might not get there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land. Knowing Dr. King as I knew him, because he was like a father to me, and on our private meetings that we would have as we traveled, I knew the understanding and the love that he had for black people. And when Dr. King said, it really doesn't matter with me now because I know we'll get there and I might not get there with you, but he, in his naiveness, thought that if we get there, that we're going to open the doors up for our people, like every other ethnic group, that if we, I would give my blood and I would die for you and I would lay down my life for you because I know as every other ethnic group, you're going to reach back and build communities. And if you knew Dr. King, then you would have understood that he really believed that with all of his heart. So we have a responsibility and an obligation to have money with a purpose and whatever our skills are with a purpose to help rebuild our communities. Dr. King assumed that as every other ethnic group, we had currency and they had country. They built communities, and he believed in us. So we have to believe in ourselves. It is that time, y'all. It's 7 o'clock. It is a 7 o'clock hour. And you know what that means. Wherever you are in the country, in the world, in the city, in the state, it is that time. Because if you don't know who you are, then you try to be everything else. It is that time. This is the time of morning that I love to have. It is that time, y'all. Take a deep breath in there, Courtney. And I know Jim Lisa's driving in. She's taking a breath. Take a deep breath there, Leah. It is that time that everybody waits for in this country and in this city. It is that black time. Take that deep breath. Black. One more time. Black. Don't that feel good, y'all? Don't it feel good? Don't it feel so good? You know, and when people stop me and tell me, Alderman, thank you so much for saying that because on my job I'm scared to say it. And you got me where I want to say it. It's all right to love yourself. Don't mean you hate anybody else, but you can't love anybody else more than you love yourself. Well, we're having a good time here today. We have Aaliyah Joan Harvey in the studio with us, that our wordy, our person that we're just so happy to have, the one we've been talking about, great black woman. We're just so proud of her. She's in the studio with us this morning. She's going to be able to take your call as we talk, and we're just happy. You know, we're celebrating 10 years. Our 10-year anniversary for the Harold Washington Culture Center, committed to family, culture, and community. Children, we're committed to that, and we work real hard with our children. Jimelita took the children to the Tonys last year, and she got a chance to meet this great black woman. And you know what I love about her? She's truly the essence of what Dr. King probably was talking about, the essence of what it is to have your skills and your money with a purpose. That she came and she was just so happy to come and to talk to our children and do a master class and to move around, and she was just so gracious to our children. But the fact of the Broadway plays that she's writing and understanding who she is, but her spirit is great, y'all. You know I deal with spirit, and her spirit is really great. And we're just so happy to have her here with us, and we're going to present her award on Monday. And today we're going to have that push, and we're going to be doing some other things. We're just happy to have a graduate of Spelman. And what, you know, I told you, music is very important to our children, to have arts and culture. The fact that her mother took her to Broadway plays and had her involved in music and had her doing a lot of things, you know, she's thinking about these things. It's embedded into her DNA. And to take her skills and say, wait a minute, I can take my business and do Broadway plays and show black people how they look. When she did the trip to Bountiful with Cicely Tyson, the award-winning Tony. So happy for her. She really, I mean, that just made me just cry. Just tell you the essence of this young, great woman. I love you, Ms. Harvey, because you really do, you exemplify for the children. It's very important that children see that when black people can produce and have always been able to do plays and to do music and to do the arts. And that's what you are presenting to us. So we have her. You're going to hear her voice in a minute. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And we're also going to be giving Congressman Danny Davis a Lou Jones Legacy Award. Of course, Lou Jones was a person who was really loving. She's the late Lou Jones. She loved black people. She came up with the houses and the war to try to keep foster children together so they wouldn't be scattered. She worked in the prison system. She did a lot of things intergenerational, and she also helped very much with the Harold Washington Culture Center. We're celebrating 10 years of Harold Washington Culture Center, 773-373-1900. We have the VON special. We want to thank those of you who have bought tickets for our fundraiser gala. We're just going to have a good time. So we're getting ready to go, and you can wake up your friends. Talk of Chicago, 1690-773-591. 1690. And we get ready to talk to Aaliyah. Aaliyah, how are you doing this morning?
Good. Thank you for having me to the Talk of Chicago.
Well, we're so happy.
Good morning, everyone.
We're so happy to have you. Tell me something. They said that you, when you were a young girl, you went, your mother took you to a lot of plays and a lot of, tell us about that, because a lot of young people listen to me. I have a lot of young people sitting in their college dorm, a lot of brothers on the street who be doing things they should be doing. The other big brothers get them and say, come on, you need to get some fat on your head and listen to Dorothy Tillman. So I have a lot of young brothers and sisters. I have a cross generation of people listening to me. So I want them to know, tell me, you took piano lesson. What made you decide to do, as a young person, you got bit by the bug of art? So tell us how important art is, and just tell us something about you growing up.
Well, I would say that the arts were always important in my family. I started playing the piano early on. I was a ballerina for a little while, then piano, then flute. I did try my hand at acting in a high school play, but I didn't think I was that good at it. My family always thought it was important for me to be exposed to theater, to culture, to concerts, you know, all different forms of the arts.
Mm-hmm.
And so from a young age, I was definitely in admiration of the artists themselves, didn't necessarily see myself on the stage
mm-hmm.
at that point.
Well, you know, I believe, and I say that God is an artist, with all, because art is where people meet and you create. Really, what do you? My children, all of them play music, all five, and art was very important in our household, very
mm-hmm.
very important. Music and art, and growing up in the South and growing up with music. A lot of the schools have taken the culture out of the. You don't have, you know, it was understood that every class did a play. You had to take art, you had to take music, you had the
right.
glee club, you had all these different things, and now they pull those things out of the school. So what effect do you think that have on education when they pull those things out of the school?
I think it's going to have a dramatic effect because beyond just exposure for the students to the arts affect the cognitive ability of, you know, students. So in fourth grade, everyone in my elementary school had to pick an instrument.
Right.
And I was just talking to a friend of mine the other night.
Uh-huh.
Like everyone in our elementary school had to pick an instrument in fourth
right.
grade. And, you know, you knew at that point you were going to learn how to read sheet music.
Yes.
Which is only going to help you in other areas.
Right.
So, you know, I think that the STEM, you know, idea of science, technology, engineering, math focus
mm-hmm.
Definitely needs to be STEAM. And I know that that's been a big education conversation, adding the arts back into that equation.
Well, you know, my daughter who graduated a very early age from high school. Jamalita was really ready to come out at 14 or 15, but I kept her one more year. And one of the reasons they was allowing her is because of the music. And when you're going to go into medicine, anything major, they want you to have music and art. If you're going to even be with STEM, with engineering or science, you need art, you need music, you need something that to relax your mind, your left side, your right side of your brain. And, you know, blacks have always been very creative. Our music, you know, I was listening, if you look and you look back at our music, it was always telling our story in a loving way. Even when we had pain, we told it to move on. And the music had always been, I said it was a psychologist. It kept us together. It made us feel. It took us to our God. It took us here. It took us to our love.
Therapy.
Yes. So music is very important. So now with the theater, why did you choose to do black theater, to do, and I know you can do more than that, but you went to Broadway as the, you're the only black person that produces on Broadway, is my understanding?
My producing partner and I are the only black producers on Broadway. Stephen Bird is my producing partner. I guess the route that I took to get to Broadway is unique, as they all are.
Tell us about
it. In speaking to the other producers on Broadway, but I was working on Wall Street,
mm-hmm.
and a mentor of mine had talked about doing an all-black version of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. He'd spoken to me about it several times. Tried to do it in the 90s, didn't happen. And in 2006, he called and asked me. He said that he thought it was time, and asked me if I wanted to partner with him,
mm-hmm.
To do it. And at the time, I was working in the hedge fund industry, and I thought that this would be a lot more inspiring work. So,
mm-hmm.
so. I made the decision right then, and from there we started the journey of getting the rights for the first play. And
which was really a very successful play.
It was the biggest grossing play on Broadway in the 2008 season. So it took us 2 years to get it up. It took us 2 years to cast it.
Mm-hmm. With an all-black cast, which you very seldom get.
Well, it was the first time Tennessee Williams was done on Broadway with an all-black cast. And for us, the significance of doing an American classic with an all-black cast on Broadway is all about creating opportunity,
mm-hmm.
For the actors themselves, for the audience members, for the stagehands that are working backstage.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And the idea that, you know, 90% of the canon of work that's presented on Broadway is considered traditional casting with all-white casts,
mm-hmm.
Means that all of those black actors that had learned those plays, they went to school for drama just
yeah.
like, you know, everyone else, and they've learned all of these plays.
Mm-hmm.
But it meant that they had no professional route
right.
to perform these parts. These,
mm-hmm.
I mean, parts that are seminal in our dramatic history, and they're not necessarily, specifically the titles that we've chosen, we didn't find them to be race-specific.
Yeah.
Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, everyone knows a Big Daddy.
Right.
You know,
yeah. Everybody
has,
know Big Daddy? Yes, yes.
You know, everyone has a dysfunctional family.
Oh, yes.
That gets together and causes havoc. And when we moved forward on from there to Streetcar, you know, once again, a dysfunctional family, a sister that comes in and,
yeah.
and you know, is,
yeah.
is unstable and creates more instability in the household.
Uh-huh.
And then moving on to the Trip to Bountiful.
Now let's talk about that, because that was just awesome. That's when Jamelita took the children. We'll talk about that in a moment. The
okay.
Trip to Bountiful. I'm going to talk about Jamelita coming to the Tonys. I'm going to bring her in a minute. But the Trip for the Bounty, but I was just so happy. And why did you cast Cicely Tyson to come to Broadway in that role?
Well, it started the idea for doing the Trip to Bountiful with black leads.
Okay.
Was actually the idea of Hallie Foote, the writer's daughter.
Okay.
Which I thought was awesome, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's the direction that we're trying to push for, is that casting is more open,
mm-hmm.
For actors of color to have the opportunity.
I like to say black people, because other folks of color have opportunities. Because it's blacks who in this country have a harder time being on Broadway or being cast or being put in a creative mode like this. I'm a black person.
Okay.
And I deal with
I'm black,
black
person
and, yeah, I deal with black and other folks. I don't have hang-ups about folks of color. I deal with all people because you got to love yourself and love folks, but I have no problem with black people. I don't politically
Absolutely.
Correct black folks. Go on.
Well, she had the idea, and she reached out to Michael Wilson, who is, he's directed all of Horton Foote's plays on and off Broadway, so he's considered the most informed director for Horton Foote. And she said to him, you know, I want to do a non-traditionally cast version of The Trip to Bountiful on Broadway. And he said, well, it would only make sense with Cicely Tyson.
Yes. Oh, she did it. Oh, she did that role. Oh, she did. And I'm happy my children got a chance to come and see that. So, Tim, how did this come together with the crew? What did you feel about making putting together this Broadway play, Trip to Bountiful, to produce this play, to be involved in that, to work with Cicely Tyson, really?
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about that?
Well, I was extremely excited to be a part of it. It's interesting. I showed her. I had worked with James Earl Jones, who, you know, on Cat on a Hot Tin Roof,
mm-hmm.
and that was an incredible experience. We commonly refer to James Earl Jones and Cicely Tyson as our royalty.
Yes,
and
you're
so,
right.
And so just the idea that she was going to be returning to Broadway after 30 years
mm-hmm.
For this role,
yeah.
You know, she talked about over and over again the fact that that she needed this, she wanted this
mm-hmm.
Full circle
mm-hmm.
Experience on Broadway. She didn't miss one show.
Yeah.
She was phenomenal. I don't know where she got the energy from. Every
you know, art does that to you. You know, music and art, it does that. That's what she got it from. God,
sure.
The music, the art.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. She did, you know, Jane Pittman. You ever thought about doing the Jane Pittman on Broadway?
Interesting.
Did this tree could talk? You remember Jane Pittman, and she said, oh, let me tell you something about this tree. You ever thought about Jane Pittman?
No, I hadn't thought about that.
Oh, pretty great.
I know that she will be appearing in The Trip to Bountiful on the West Coast in September. So if you didn't get to see it on Broadway, and maybe you got a chance to see the movie on Lifetime,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if you didn't get a chance to see it live,
mm-hmm.
Which I will put in a plug for
live
entertainment, live performance. You know, theater has a unique ability to connect the audience and the performers on stage, and they're dependent on each other. And so it's very different from going to see a movie.
Right.
Or because you can't give any feedback through, you know, just the audience reactions,
right.
And even the silences are significant. And so you're going through an experience with the actors on the stage every night in the theater, and that's what's so exciting
mm-hmm.
About seeing live performance and then being touched in moments by what's playing out on the stage or laughing, you know,
yeah.
with the actors on the stage or
The energy,
recognizing, you know, an experience that you may have or someone that you know may have. So I think that live entertainment, particularly theater, is critical.
I believe in that.
It's one of the most critical art forms, and so I'll put that out there.
I'll agree with you. And this, the synergy. I hope, Courtney, if you can find a clip from Cicely Tyson on Bountiful, we'll play it too. I know. Let me just take this one call. 773-591-1690. Lavette, yes. Hello, Lavette.
Good morning, Dorothy Tillman.
Good morning.
I just really appreciate you having the sister on to talk about the arts, because what's going on in Chicago is that our children are being deprived of their culture, and people want to know what's wrong with them, and they are being spiritually deprived, because the arts and culture is what guides and molds us. And what we're getting now, we're getting European culture pushed down our children's throats. So they don't relate to us as the cultural leaders. I just finished a program yesterday, and I didn't realize until the program was over that I had worked with 35 children. And
what program was that, Lavette?
That's over at Garfield Park at the Gold Dome.
I'm
an administrator of Westside Cultural Arts Council.
Okay.
And I did 35 art projects with these children, and I realized how much they love me when I put their exhibit out. So I've been an advocate for the arts for 20 years. I take all.
Well, I know then you're coming out on Monday, so you get a chance to meet Sister Harvey. I'll see you on Monday.
Yes, and let me just say that, you know, you have to be committed to children. I take my two grandchildren, 6 and 10, my girls, with Najwa's Dance Corps. I take them every Saturday to their dance program, African dance program. My grandson is in 3 drum programs.
Okay, hurry up, Lavette.
Yeah, so I just want to say that that's what's ailing our community right now.
Well, it's art. It's music. It's what the message we're giving and what we're saying and what we're doing. The message that we're giving is very, very important. You have to love your children because they're the future. You got to love them. They're you. Thank you so much. They're part of our truth.
And I just want to say, please continue what you're doing because I don't realize I don't think people realize just how important you are, and you should be on a major television airing what you're saying to us every Saturday.
I know, but Lavette.
Like a crazy woman, and I was like, "What time is it? Oh, I'm missing Dorothy."
I know what's happening, and everybody's listening right now because they're listening to Lavette. They're listening
to you.
Thank you, Lavette. I know my audience—they're real quiet. They're listening, and they can holler. Wait, you know, one of the things I like is the fact that Harvey Jones. Harvey, I want to call Harvey Jones. Aaliyah, not only have you created opportunities for blacks on Broadway, but what I like is that you're now increasing the global brand by taking your cast to West End in London to perform. That you're taking this cast now. Because if you look at a lot of our artists, they had to go to London to get recognition and then come back.
Mm-hmm.
But what's great about this now is that you're taking them from here to London. You want to tell us about your London trip?
Well, after the success of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof on Broadway, a producer from London came and saw one of the shows and said to us, you know, you should bring this to the West End. We hadn't thought of it until then, and when we went to London, we took James Earl Jones, who hadn't been on the West End for more than 30 years himself. He was on the West End performing Paul Robeson in the 60s. And so we took Cat on a Hot Tin Roof to the West End, and it received the same, if not better, success than we had on Broadway. The audiences were so excited because not only had they not seen an African-American cast. They hadn't seen blacks at all. I mean, so they hadn't seen blacks at all on the stage in this type of all-black cast of a production. So we had a study done. 78% of the ticket buyers were new to the West End.
That's something.
78%.
78%. It's like with the Harold Washington Cultural Center.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the people come to us from the suburban community, other places, they're just stunned when they get to that theater, and a lot of them see Broadway plays. We took a lot to see the Motown the musical because of
Barry's
from here, and a lot of the folks that we've taken down there had never seen Broadway plays.
Mm-hmm.
The children have never seen Broadway plays, and we are just very excited. So hi.
But I think it speaks to what the caller was saying. Seeing yourself on the stage is a critical part of you wanting to be there.
Right.
You know, and so if the offering isn't there, then you won't be excited about going to see it. So that's a significant part of it. We have to be on the stage for us to come and see ourselves.
Right. And I was telling her, I said, you got to meet this lady. She's just so wonderful. Aaliyah John Harvey. She's just one of the greatest. I mean, the fact that she's, and that's what I mean when Dr. King said, that he have allowed me to go to the mountaintop. He said God allowed us. I was the field staff organizer for Dr. King. Dr. King brought me to Chicago. But when and I know how he, and it's not even, Dr. King loved black people. We sit in our private meetings. He really had faith. He just wanted to open these doors. And one of the things he said is he allowed us. He said God allowed me. He didn't say I went to the mountaintop. People miss that. He said God have allowed me to look over. And Dr. King saw the Aaliyah Jones. And he knew in his heart he thought that the Aaliyah Jones Harvey would come and give back into Bill. We salute you for that. So many don't do that. And he, if I could lay my life down, I would die because it doesn't matter because I'm going to be better. We're going to pull our people up. And to me, that's the essence, the spirit, and that's why I love you. I told Jamalita, Jamalita, come into the studio with us. I told Jamalita that this young lady, who she is and what she's done, is giving to our children, giving back to our community, and I thank you for that. Because you didn't have to. You could have stayed a hedge fund, and you could have stayed on Wall Street and just did your little thing and did. But you're bringing the arts, black people, black performers who, like you said, have gone to school or doing things and they have no place. They still maybe they can get one little place, be one in a many, but they're doing it. So we thank you for that. Let me go to Taylor. How you doing?
Good morning. Is this Ms. Tillman?
Yes, it is.
Ms. Tillman, I apologize for being late getting to your show this morning. But
that's all right for being late, bro. It's all right.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, you know, I'm a Southerner. We have this time conscious thing.
Yeah.
But I wanted to just share this with you. In Birmingham, Alabama, they are commemorating the Brown versus the Board of Education. And I was calling to ask you if you knew that Brown versus the Board of Education, May 17th, today, is supposed to be our first national holiday, and it would have been an education day.
Well, you know, I think it would be good if we was having equal education.
I
think if we want to celebrate Brown versus the Board of Education, I think that black folks should demand that we have equality. Education is being the key. Education, music is the spice of life, and education is the key. That's what I always say.
Well, let me add this point quick, because, see, I don't want you to get upset, but this is a fact.
Well, I'm not getting upset. I'm going to stay on the Aaliyah John Harvey.
Hear me out. In page 288 and 287 in the book, The Story of Christian Activism, Dr. J.H. Jackson was on the book with several other people across the board, international people across the board here in America, to make May 17 our first national holiday. And
well, let me read up on that, Taylor, and we talk about it. Because I have to get more information. I don't like to speak on things I don't know.
Give me your email, and I'll send it to you.
Courtney, pick that up and give him Ebony's email. Ebony is my daughter. My producer is the one that you would talk to. Thank you so much. Jamalita.
Yes.
Jamalita joined us.
In the building. This is the Tillman Takeover Part 2. I am back, people. I was here on Thursday. Thanks for having me back today, Mama. Don't cut my mic, Courtney. I'm live.
Okay. Jamalita, you met Leah when you took the children to the Tonys.
Yes, it was. The date was June 9th, I think, last year, 2013. We got a chance to take our first delegation to the Tony Awards, which is the highest coveted award in theatrical performances. And what was key about that year is that it was so many black people that were winning and nominated. Billy Porter, Courtney B. Vance, Patina Miller, Cicely Tyson. And then you had a strong system of young people that was being highlighted last year. Last year was an amazing year at the Tonys for it to be the first year that we were taking those young people. They got an opportunity to walk the red carpet, meet a lot of fantabulous people, and spark their interest in other aspects and avenues of theater, not just being on the stage, but they didn't realize you can get an award for music design, for sound design. Not necessarily playing the instrument, but designing how the instrument's going to come together. So that's what was key for us to open up those barriers for those young children.
And you got a chance to let them meet the first black producer.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And you told me she was very gracious. It's interesting that you would say that was a year that a lot of blacks got nominated. That's mm-hmm. very interesting. That was one of the years a lot of blacks got nominated for Tony Awards.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's ushered in a wave because this season it has a great number of offerings, more offerings than they've had in other seasons. And now and now the audience is starting to shift. What has traditionally been an 80-85% white audience is now shifting, and it only comes in ebbs and flows. So when The Color Purple was on Broadway,
yes,
we had a big presence on Broadway. I mean, in the audience,
yes,
you know, and on the stage. And so we're coming back around, and it only happens when we have a presence, you know, on Broadway, that we see our audience come back. They really only come when they want to see themselves.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody does that.
But you know what I find interesting, Mom? As we were looking at the economics of blacks on Broadway as it pertains to performers as well as producers, part of the issue of the dynamic of what is called the Great White Way is what they call Broadway, allegedly for the white lights, what have you, is that a lot of these non-black producers that are getting the black dollars won't spend it with black media. And if they really want to see these dollars flow into the seat, they have to really spend more with black
media.
Well,
one thing I've noticed with Motown the Musical that Kevin did when he came to the city of Chicago, at least, because he spent money with black media.
That's true.
And we've made sure. And in fact, the League of Chicago, the first time they've seen so many black folks out there,
yeah,
at their performance, you know, they've never seen that many, I mean, black folks coming, and now they see.
It used to be like an exclusive club of black theater goers, and now theater is becoming friendly and available and attainable for all. And I would like to thank you and the board of directors for allowing us to do Broadway on Bronzeville, because that gives you a stop-off point before you head to downtown. But you're getting the same level and the caliber of performances from young adults that have not necessarily had the opportunity to perform at the theaters downtown or out of town. And what I found interesting about the auditioning process for Motown the Musical, which a lot of our young adults got an opportunity to do, is that they swooped from a caliber of young, hungry actors, mm-hmm, and actresses that have no particular names. I'm not going to call them no names, but they're not as famous, or they're a little bit less famous than the average, which I know was definitely cost effective for the producer.
Of course it was. The director was saying how much quote unquote actress and stuff.
Yeah.
He found such rich talent here
Charles
in Chicago.
Randolph,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. He said he found such great talent here in Chicago. But
because
it's everywhere. They just don't have the opportunity. And that's
right.
What Aaliyah is doing,
yes,
providing an opportunity for black folks to,
mm-hmm,
see themselves.
Exactly.
Now, the Goodman have always played had a lot of black plays, and that was black little theater they would go to, but the wave that they're having now. But to have a black producer,
mm-hmm,
and your partner name was
Stephen Bird.
Stephen Bird.
To
have them to come together. But as I said, to have her to understand,
mm-hmm,
that, I might not get there with you, but we'll get there,
right,
for her to reach back, for Aaliyah to reach back, and then to begin to teach and to build and to put us there. And that's what it's all about. Now, you said that you wanted to honor Aaliyah this year.
Yes.
And you told me why, and you told the board why. Tell the audience why you wanted to honor this great black woman.
Well, first and foremost, if I didn't, the children in the program would have, like, lynched me, because she came to town. She was here handling some other things, and she took time out of her schedule to come,
mm-hmm,
spend time with us at the cultural center. Then we went over to the salon, and she took time for them.
Mm-hmm.
The problem right now is that the only time people take time for the children is if something tragic happens.
Right.
Something violent. Somebody's slain. Something's lost. But she took time in a time when they're doing positive things, and that resonated with them. So as they were looking to see, well, this is the 10th year anniversary, we're doing it big with Broadway and Bronzeville.
They chose
they
Aaliyah.
Chose her. So the children led us with this one.
Uh-huh.
And I stood right with them. I said, okay, I'm going to take this to the board, because it made sense. And regardless of people that may not exactly know who she was before this coming Monday,
they gonna know.
Or before this interview today, honey, better believe it.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, I remember when, at this point, when Aaliyah's already world travel, Tony Award winning Broadway producer. That is no easy feat.
Don't you know what make her great?
What's that, Mama?
When you can welcome among kings and yet stay with the common man.
So humble. This woman got in at 2 in the morning on a flight, and she was here on time for call time. And I was so, so happy when she walked through the door like, I'm ready to go. What we doing? And that's a consummate professional. And even in her professionalism, she's compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
And then she speaks volumes to the passion that she has for theater, art, and culture. But I read an article where you presented the fact that you look at every production as a new entrepreneurial endeavor. It's a new business model. It's like, okay, what do we need for this actual business model to work. Okay, what do we need for it? Because Cattle on the Hot Tin Roof has a different requirement than Trip to Bountiful and than Black Orpheus. All of the, did you talk about Black Orpheus? Am I still?
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Hey,
let's talk about it. We got about 15 more minutes here. We want to make
go ahead. Let's talk about Black Orpheus.
We're trying to get them to sit it at the Harold Washington Cultural Center.
Like they did Kiki Booth. Come on, man. We will open the doors. Kiki Lapa came in there.
We're hoping that Black Orpheus is going to sit on 47th.
We wanted to sit. We will make sure. Work out the kinks in our building. Kiki Booth came in and cleaned up at the Tonys last year, people. Sitting
it
in Chicago. They tuned it up, fine-tuned it in Chicago.
We gonna look
economically, because it's not that easy to fine-tune it in New York when that meter is running. But when you have brick and mortar, you can run that meter. We got brick and mortar for you.
Wait, one thing you've been an inspiration to Jim Alisa, too.
Yes.
Because
yes.
You told her, hang on to that theater, you have brick and mortar, and you have something that nobody really have in this country. Is
mm-hmm.
what, you know. But tell us about Kiki Booth. Tell us about
Black Orpheus.
And we've got to go to the, I want to take some more calls.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell us about Black Orpheus.
Okay, well, first of all, I wanted to say thank you all so much for having me here this year. I'm so honored to be getting this award from the Harold Washington Cultural Center and having read and heard from friends and family all of the history of the Harold Washington Cultural Center and how you've built it from the ground up. And so I'm so honored to be receiving the award this year.
Thank you.
Yes, Jim Alita and I started talking after the Tony Awards, after our serendipitous meeting at the Tony Awards, she became aware of the project that we currently have in development, Black Orpheus. If you remember the movie from 1959, we are turning it into a Broadway musical, the Brazilian love story. The tragic love story that takes place in Rio during Carnival. Our vision of it is, the spectacle of Carnival in Rio on Broadway. And so the significance of Black Orpheus for us was that it was the first production in Brazil to feature Afro-Brazilians on the stage. And so, you know, that's right in the wheelhouse of what we do.
Yes.
And for us to be able to bring the first Brazilian production of this nature to Broadway is exciting for us. The thing that you mentioned about Kinky Boots, Motown, all of these musicals that have come through Chicago, what's great about musicals, we've done plays up to this point. Musicals have the opportunity to employ so many people.
Yes.
A play will have 14 cast members, will have about 60 stagehands. With a musical, you can double that number. There's an orchestra, so you've got live music. And then your cast may be double the size of a play. And then, your stagehands are a larger number. So the opportunity there to employ a larger number of people, musicals generally play in larger houses. So we're really excited about everything that will come now that we've built up to trying to develop a musical for Broadway. That's the next, exciting opportunity that we're taking on.
Well, we're very excited. I only have 8 minutes left, Jamalita. I'm going to take these two calls. I want 30 seconds. Make it 30. You want my 30 seconds? You ask your question 30 seconds. Some of you, and then I'm going to try to close out. Mama D, 30 seconds.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
30
hey,
seconds.
It's the 50th anniversary of Brown versus Board. America admitted genocide when they...
Okay, but we're talking about the play right now, Mama D.
I want to know if you can do a play on the children that changed America. 6-year-old Linda Brown, 14-year-old Emmett Till.
Okay.
The four little girls bombed
okay.
the church. Because children relate very much to each other.
Okay, thank you.
Great
Melissa Plump.
Writing it down.
Melissa Plump?
Yes.
30 seconds.
I would like to know if she would do a musical with the Harold Washington Foundation.
Thank you so much. Okay. Okay, yeah. We're right. According to how many minutes I got over there. Jim Lee, Before we go, because we're going to be, you're going to be a push with Leah today?
Yes, we are.
Okay, don't keep over there too long because she needs to get some rest.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Jess, I know you're listening. I'm bringing over there. Don't you keep it too long. Jimelisa, tell me what is happening on Monday.
On Monday, you will have a fantabulous experience with scenes and songs from 10 Tony Award-winning Broadway productions that will be brought to you by the shining stars and shooting stars of Broadway and Bronzeville. We're also going to be honoring Tony Award-winning producer Aaliyah Jones Harvey. Danny K. Davis, congressman, will be receiving the Luvana Jones, State Rep Luvana Jones Legacy Achievement Award. So we're excited about that. We're going to be announcing the students that are attending the Tonys this year and introducing the new award for the young ones that are going to the L.A. Experience. So we've selected that. We have some young people that are going off to the New York School of Conservatory as well as the Disney School in Orlando, so we're honoring them as well. It's going to be a wonderful reception. Wine, jazz, King High School's honored, Robeson.
773-373-1900. And
Broadway
also,
in Bronzeville, WVON code for a discount ticket.
Okay, Jimelisa, yes. Harold Washington Culture Center is a member of the League of
We are a member of the League of Chicago Theaters, and we're the largest community theater in the city of Chicago, not just the largest black-owned theater, but the largest community theater in Chicago, and it's important to create an opportunity for the audience as well as the performers.
And we work with a lot of the youth. We've taken our youth and turned them around,
and we teach them
spirituality. We also teach them discipline and other things.
And our programs are 100% free, and we are not funded by any government entity. We are underwritten by
you, the patron.
So when you buy that ticket, when you put your name on the handle, Mama D, when you stop by and you donate that $25, it helps us buy the light bulb, get the tissue, and help these babies go on the trips.
Mm-hmm. Well, we thank you, and we thank Aaliyah Harvey
Jones Harvey
for being with us this morning, and we're looking forward to spending the rest of the day. I'm going to be on, I got 5 minutes. You asked me a question about the church for the funeral or church for something else? The church for the funeral is on Kedzie, 4451 North Kedzie, I think. Call Unique Funeral Home, and they'll tell you where this young man's funeral is, but I will be attending the funeral. Would you want to sum me up for a minute? Sum it up, Aaliyah. Give me some summation, because we've enjoyed you. So it went by fast, didn't it?
It did. Thank you for having me. Support the arts. Support the Harold Washington Cultural Center. All of the future Broadway stars are coming from this type of critical endeavor. Introducing our children to the arts is this important first step. For us to continue to be able to present our culture on stage.
And
so thank you for having me.
And we would expect all those Spelman alumni to come out and meet you.
I heard that Spelman is coming out.
They're excited.
She's from Spelman and Georgia Tech. You got to come on out and meet her. Thank you, Aaliyah. We love you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for making Dr. King's dream a reality. Thank you for being you. And thank you, your husband who's driving you around today. We thank him, too. Look, we look to see you on Saturday. How many minutes I got that, Courtney? Okay. We look to see you on Monday. Come on out Monday, Harold Washington Culture Center. For the VON code, 773-373-1900. You can online ticket wherever. You can come out of office after 12. But come on out Monday. The reception is at 6, and everything starts at 7. Until next day, Transformation Church is on 110th, and Indiana, the great minister, Andrew Hunt. This is Dorothy Wright Tim with a coffee tea and a conversation with me every Saturday morning from 6 to 8. Until next week, I'll see you. Reparations now.
Brutality in this slavery industry is this nation's foundation of economy. What bothers me is the stripping of language, culture, and religion of African descendants with no restriction. They cut children from my queen's guts to inbreed fear in us. My hands rough, my forefathers' hands, God bless us, forced to be a field hand by another white man. Mr. President, I'm here to represent for mine and for the Africa in which you raped and left behind, draining her natural resource. So to her people pay remorse or feel the force of a former slave.
kidnapped from my landlocked and chained. Brought to a new world to maintain. Hard to survive while my kind's being hanged. Is it over now?
I'm a former slave. I've been shackled, been locked in chains. But somehow my soul remains. But is it over now? Over now.
I am in existence. You African descendant. Walk to your shores, vault your wall, tell your business. Beat me till defenseless. You did this for 400 plus. In the bottom of your ships and at the back of your bus, you'll find us with a black face embedded in stuff. Survivor us of America's clutch. Enough is enough. Give us our just due. Just shoot it in villain. If we configured for every crime that was committed and every bigot that got acquitted. And meanwhile, and on exhibit was a black neck from a tree. We probably be millionaires, equal share across the board, able to afford to rebuild and restore. Ignored was a black slave put to death with promised land on his mind and free on his breath. It's only correct, America, you cut us a check with a whip, wounds and flesh, and the disrespect for every black that was strapped with whips, for every piece of cotton picked till our fingertips turned bloody, bigger than money. Reparations is about compensation. It's time that you made the way for your slave occupation. Yeah, most of the happiness was built by us. Every stoplight and peanut gallery built by us. Everything you think they did, it was built by us. Yeah.
The talk of Chicago and the voice of the nation. 1690 WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.
NBC News Radio, I'm Alex Witt. 11 major fires are burning in California. NBC's Joe Fryer is there.
Those dry Santa Ana winds which fueled these wildfires are fading away.
All right, down 100 feet. Traffic is completely blown.
As military aircraft like these Sea Knight helicopters attack the flames from above.
More on the change in weather and how it's likely to help firefighters from NBC meteorologist Dylan Dreyer.
Temperatures are going to be significantly cooler. L.A. about 75 degrees today instead of being up around 100. Irvine, 79 degrees. But again, we are going to see improvements, and humidity is up around 25 to nearly 50%.
Colorado's governor plans to sign the first in the nation right-to-try legislation today. It will allow terminally ill patients to get experimental drugs without getting federal approval. A top official of the Veterans Administration has resigned over the falsified record scandal, but Arizona Senator John McCain says more needs to be done. This is NBC News Radio. General Motors has been fined $35 million by the federal government for keeping information about a faulty ignition switch quiet. It's the most the government has ever fined an automaker, but as we hear now from NBC's Tom Costello, it's not the end of the story for GM.
Government investigators say in 2009, GM was told by a supplier the ignition switch defect could prevent the airbags from deploying.
It makes me sick. I don't understand how they could hide this.
Marie Buzzard's grandmother and sister died after their Chevy Cobalt...
Deal in.